Statement of Dr. Henry Martin Clark. In his reply, respected Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Sahib has spent time at length on the Jews. We have no idea why he has made them arbiter between himself and us. Sir, the children of which darkness are you referring to? If the matter depends on them not accepting, then it will affect the dignity of your holy prophet a great deal as well, because in opposing him also, they remained his deniers steadfastly. My dear sir, the decision does not rest on any human being. Books are available, language is not incomprehensible, and God Almighty did not grant wisdom to the Jews only. Please point out if there is any error in any statement. If there is an error in the meanings, then do bestow upon us the correct meanings, but why do you thrust the misfortune of the Jews upon our heads? You say that this community was pious and God-fearing. However, if you read the Holy Torah and the scriptures of the prophets, their true condition will become illumined upon you. See the book of Isaiah, what God Almighty says about them, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 3. And look at the prophets, what they have to say. Murderers, merciless beyond the limit, killers of prophets, those who turned their faces away from their own God. These are their qualities in the word of Allah, yet you consider them a pious community? Indeed, God has gone to the extent of saying about them that an ass knows its owner and the ox knows its fodder, but my people do not know me. Those whom Allah Almighty calls more foolish than an ass or an ox, you wish to use them to settle the dispute? Mirza Sahib, you cannot do that. My dear, it was as a punishment for their hard-heartedness that God made their hearts dark so that they would not understand. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. And this curse was on them at the time of the advent of Lord Jesus Christ, and still is. You can see by looking at the following verses. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, Acts chapter 28, verse 27, and 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, upon whom you have allotted the task of arbitration. Yes, because of their faithlessness, their city was destroyed, proverbially exiled from their homeland, dispersed all over the world, disgraced, and are still roaming just as the prophecy of Christ had declared. Second, then you put forward the Unitarians. My dear sir, they are not a sect from among the sects of Christianity. Why do you seek answers from me about all the follies and disbelief of the world? And the Roman Catholics, owing to the profanity of their hearts, call Mary the Mother of God, while the Unitarians, through their foolishness, complete their disbelief in another way. What is my concern in all this? I have the book in my hand. Its writings are there. Convince me if I am wrong. Otherwise, do not give me examples of these unenlightened people. Our belief is in Jesus and not in the sects. If I were to start giving such accusatory replies, I could show many splits within Islam right now. Please, my dear sir, look at your own home before you take the pain to criticize, and do not depend on whether a certain man accepts or not, but rely on the Book of Allah. Sir, you have asked me to present an argument which no one doubts. I admit freely that I am unable, nay, rather God is also helpless in this respect. Nothing in the world is more apparent than His holy being. Yet, will you not find 1,000 fools in the world who will say that God is nothing? When you call into question the holy being of the Maker and express doubts regarding that being truly worthy of worship, with whose glory the whole world is filled, then what argument can we present that someone will not object to? Then you ask how the Christian religion can be true if it bears no fruit. My dear sir, this religion is not without fruit, and at the proper time, that is to say, this very week, its fruits shall be presented to you. Now I have a very significant conflict with you. Why did you label me a hypocrite? Holding me to be a hypocrite that I say with the tongue that which is not in my heart? You accused me of this. I have been listening to your claims of prophethood, but this is a claim to divinity, that you can see what is in the hearts. My final submission is that it is appropriate that the holy being of the Creator should not be comprehensible to His creations. The being of God Almighty is essentially all essence, and if we could comprehend His holy being, then what would remain beyond that? Would we not become His equal? Without a doubt, this would be the case. This is precisely why I cannot come to accept the Muhammadan concept of unity that even a child can understand, while my intelligence testifies that the pure being should be far more than that. In your concept of unity, what aspect is left beyond understanding? It is as if the finite has managed to encompass the infinite somehow. But the concept of plurality in unity is such that no one has been born who can understand it, nor will any such person be born in the future. Can you tell us if human intellect can comprehend God Almighty? God forbid. God forbid. The being of God is such that it can neither be proved by reason nor can it be denied by rationality. It is a matter hundreds of thousands fold beyond human intellect, and only God Almighty can settle this issue with clarity. What pertains to God, only God knows, and neither I nor you, Mirza Sahib, have the right to use logical arguments but to accept. And the correct teaching of the books of Allah Almighty is indeed that Trinity with one God is blessed for eternity. The prophets continued testifying in favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Almighty Allah continued manifesting this by examples, in sacrifices, in the permissible and non-permissible, in circumcision and the temple. And then He kept on declaring that I, God Almighty, am myself your Savior, and that a virgin shall become pregnant at the appointed time and shall give birth to a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He came on time and was born. This matter continues with the attestation of the angels, with the witness of the disciples, and His own claims, marvels, and miracles. Yes, God Almighty Himself, having been baptized by the hand of John the Baptist, as He comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on Him in the form of a dove, and God Almighty declares from heaven in a loud voice, "This is My Son, with whom I am pleased." See, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all present because these three are one. I do not wish to prolong the matter, but the testimony of the opponents is also available, as is the testimony of Satan's, who were crying out, "You are the consecrated of God." There is the evidence of the Romans and Pilate. "Sir, all the evidence is available for you in the New Testament, and all the Jews were not faithless either. According to you, His disciples were also Jews. 3,000 of them became Christians instantly after just one sermon." Even if a community is accursed, all its individuals are not accursed. Even now, thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews consider the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when you presented this issue, that when Jesus asked, "Whose son is Christ, and why does David refer to Him as Lord?" they fell silent, and no one could answer. My dear sir, convincing a reasonable person is not a difficult matter at all, but to remove the obstinacy of the heart is a feat for God. Then, in your lecture, you claimed that the marvels are with Islam. We have no objection to seeing them, but supposing one or more marvels are indeed wrought, do also tell us how we would know that they are from Allah. You yourself have cited Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, that false prophets will arise to test you and show miracles and signs. You can also see Mark chapter 13, verse 22, and Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, my dear sir, the need is not only of marvels, but how to be convinced that they are from Allah. And I submit to you, with great respect, that I am heartbroken with your marvels. You have yourself stated that there is a difference between a sign and a miracle, but what that is, I do not know. Then, you stated that you do not know what sort of sign He will show, and then that you do not know what manner of sign He will show. Sir, in this there is a clear attempt at evasion from showing any miracle and marvels, whereas you had already agreed to this in your paper, Hujjatul Islam, pages 14 to 17. In short, what a blessed occasion this was for you to establish the claim that you had been so vehemently making for so many days. A thousand pities that you let such a good opportunity pass through your hands and avoided the issue with your absurd interpretations and meaningless accusatory replies. By your avoidance, this humble one's simple mind understands that this claim of yours is all by way of you trying to make your followers happy. By way of kindness, please do not mention these claims in front of Christians again, because it would be needless humiliation. Sir, we had heard so much of your scholarship and broad-mindedness, and we had great hopes from you. It is a pity that you presented the same old contentions and arguments and statements that have been making the rounds in this country's bazaars for the last 40 years. Mirza Sahib, we are sorry that we found no way to be happy with you. You asked for logical arguments, I gave you those. You asked for scriptural proof, I presented them to you. You desired revelation, so I accepted that. On this occasion, I remember something from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16, 17, 19, and you can see it for yourself. Lastly, I submit that in the first instance, the one and only Son of God came to this world as a prophet, and his advent is outside the scope of the inductive reasoning you presented, like the birth of Adam and Eve. What answer did you give for this? None. Secondly, the claims of divinity and its proofs were presented from the Holy Bible together with detailed verses, its possibility shown based on reason and its occurrence proven from the Word of God. What answer did you give? None. You continued needlessly to emphasize the 10th chapter of John, considering logically there is nothing there. You were presented with prophecies from the Old Testament in support of Christ, and their fulfillment was shown to you in the New Testament. The answer? None. Fifth, such sentences from the Old Testament, like, from among us, like unto one equal, Jehovah Sadaknu, the Lord our righteousness, etc., etc., from which divinity can be deduced, your answer, none. With very strong arguments, we proved the status of Jesus Christ as a perfect man and perfect God and as a manifestation of Allah. Answer, none. Seventh, cogent and detailed replies were given concerning the verses that you presented about the judgment day, etc. You did not give any reply. Eighth, sir, you quote many references from the Quran, and they are pointless for people like us since we do not consider it to be an authenticated book. Ninth, you delivered a long discourse on Mark chapter 16 and tried to convince us about the need for miracles. That was answered fully and well. What answer did you give? None. Tenth, salvation and personal revelation were irrelevant and contrary to the conditions of the debate. Therefore, we did not pay much attention to that. 11th, sir, your claim to being a man of marvels has most clearly been proven to be wrong. You evaded the issue by using counter-accusatory replies. These are the proceedings of the last week. Do please tell us which of our argument did you break or bring about even an iota of change. You continued to give your explanations and never paid any attention to what we said. Now, this is the last time of the first part of our debate. I submit to you in the name of God that in accord with God's word, all that he spoke through the prophets in the previous ages has ultimately been bestowed upon us through his Son, the heavenly religion and the way to salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Now, it is for everyone to leave prejudices behind and accept the will of God. I testify that Christ is, without doubt, the Son of the One Almighty Allah and the personified Word of Allah, and he is going to be the judge for all people on the Day of Judgment. As to the prayer duel, I would say briefly that our God has not taught us to curse anyone. He does not harbor any enmity for any of his creation. He provides light and rain in equal measure to the just and the unjust. Religions in which curses are allowed, their followers are free to believe in them and pursue them. We are the children of the King of Peace, and just as we seek good and mercy and forgiveness for ourselves, we seek in lieu of curses the same for you. We pray that Allah Almighty, through His limitless mercy, shows you the right path and keeps you in peace and faith so that when you pass away from this transitory world to the everlasting one, your end is good. I make a final request, Mirza Sahib, that you have exceeded all bounds. Forgive me, but I say with a pure heart, you said that according to the revelation, with cause unknown, you will be victorious. You will have the victory in this war. Sir, you yourself can assess whether the situation described above is of victory or something else. Sir, to think in terms of defeat and victory should never be the goal. Quite the contrary, let there be defeat. No matter, but, O Allah, your truth should become evident. I am sorry that I have not noticed this in your behavior. My dear sir, the Christian religion has been here for the last 1900 years, and it is like an anvil over which many a hammer have been worn out, and many will continue to be worn out in the future. Was a matter of 1900 years duration destined to be turned over here and now in these days? When I look at the opponents of Christianity, I recall a Greek fable. A snake entered an ironmonger's house. It saw a phial lying on the floor, full of poison. The snake started to bite the phial. The phial said to the snake, "Carry on biting as much as you desire. It is only your teeth that will be ground down." My dear sir, you really did try everything but failed to reply with either logical arguments or scriptural arguments. And the revelation and marvels that you were so proud of proved unsound and useless. Many efforts were made, but the result of this first part is evident to every reasonable person. My dear Mirza Sahib, you kept on talking of victory loudly, but it did not become evident to anybody else. Dear sir, in this war and every war, today and till the end of time, magnificence, dignity and majesty, glory and power and supremacy and victory belong to Christ, who is the blessed God forever. Amin. Signature, English, Ehsanullah acting on behalf of Henry Martin Clark, President, representing Christians. Signature, English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President, representing Muslims.